my people of this country, and we're under attack. They banned us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.
Good afternoon, Patriots. Today I stand before you to address a matter close to all of our hearts, the preservation of Native American representation. Our nation is built on a rich tapestry of cultures, with Native American heritage being one of the most profound threads found in that tapestry. From the names of our schools and sports teams to the imagery on products and in our grocery stores, these symbols have become more than just logos or mascots. They are a constant reminder of the deep-rooted history and the contributions of Native American communities to our society. However, in recent times, there has been a growing movement to erase these. The representation that they're trying to erase under the guise of respect and sensitivity. But let me ask you a question. Is erasing our heritage the same thing as respecting it? By removing these symbols, we risk losing an essential part of our collective memory and our opportunity for education and a reminder of the diversity that strengthens our nation, not weakens it. And yet, there is a curious undercurrent to this, a movement that ties back to influences far removed from the interests of Native American communities and America as a whole. Consider the case of the Confucius Institutes, a network known for promoting the Chinese language and culture abroad. Recent developments suggest that these institutes, despite a name change to entities like the Helen Foster Snow Foundation, have not shifted their direction or intentions. The same strategies are in place as well as the same goals. They are merely cloaked under a different banner. This raises a crucial question. Why should foreign entities with no stake in our history or respect for our heritage have a say in how we honor our diverse cultural backgrounds? It's essential to recognize that such influences, especially from countries with questionable agendas, may not have the best interests of our communities at heart. As we stand at this crossroads, it is very crucial to distinguish between genuine respect for cultures and the erasure of heritage under external influences and pressure thereof. Preserving Native American symbols in our public life is not an act of holding on to the past, but a commitment to remembering and honoring the contributions of all who have shaped this land. Let us not be swayed by the tactics of those who do not share our values or respect our diverse heritage. Instead, let's engage in an open, respectful dialogue with Native American communities and understand their perspectives, and together decide the best path forward. Our goal should be to educate, not eradicate, to remember and to honor, all while ensuring the voices of the very people we aim to respect are heard the loudest. In conclusion, erasing our heritage is not a path to respect. Understanding, preserving, and educating is. Let's stand together against foreign influence that seek to divide us and instead embrace the rich diversity that makes our nation truly great. Thank you, Patriots. So there's that, guys. Welcome to the Patriots Prayer Podcast. Once again, my co-host, Native Patriot, Maurice. And would you ladies please do me the honor of introducing yourself for the audience members?
I'm Cheryl Stratton, member of Voice.
I'm Lisa Davis.
I'm Andrea Nelson.
And guys, let me tell you, I've talked in depth with these ladies over the last few days, and they are as passionate as they are fierce. This issue that we're getting ready to tackle about the Redmen, the name change, when I was contacted initially from the Native American Guardians Association about this issue, I had no idea of the twists and turns and the people involved and the nefarious roots of the problem that they're currently dealing with. And it's not just a problem they're dealing with locally in their area, but this is a problem that we're dealing with nationwide, in all aspects of American culture. And so we're going to get into that and some more. So with that, Maurice, would you go ahead and start us off? I know you have some questions for these ladies.
Well, first, let me let them introduce themselves, you know, names and what you guys are fighting for. Just a little general overview and, you know, like kind of when this began. So let's hear it.
It began in 2018. Our school board at the time wanted to eradicate the Redmen, and they devised a plan and executed it. Behind the public's knowledge, they conspired to keep it from the public knowledge until after a bond election that was that November for $93 million. They knew the town was against the changing the Redmen. We gathered a petition of over 6,000 signatures to keep the Redmen, and the eradicators, they got 1,450 signatures approximately, which is like an 81 to 19% difference in favor of keeping the Redmen. And our wills and our will was ignored. Exactly. Ignored. There's a lot more detail to it though.
It's typical to have your wishes ignored and for them to focus on the radical minority. It's very, very typical.
Yes.
Let me ask. So this happened and you heard about it through the grapevine, through how exactly did it hit your radar?
Mostly just through the grapevine, and we heard they were going to form a committee to study the issue. And I was naive to think that we'd just put our name in a hat and get, you know, chosen to study the issue. I had had grown up in Cedar City. I'd moved away. I had recently moved back to Cedar City. And I thought, well, let's study this. Let's find out what it really means. Let's find data. Let's look at schools that may have done this in the past and what the results were. And I just thought they were really going to study the issue, but I was naive.
Yeah, we all were.
We found out from the newspaper article written by Tracy Sullivan. That's how I discovered what was going on.
Yeah, she found out they were having meetings that weren't exactly open to the public, and she exposed it. And so then the public became aware of what was happening. And most people, like Andrea said, were like, well, they're never going to change it. You know, if they really dig into this issue, they'll find that this term, historically speaking, has never been derogatory.
Yeah.
You know, and we all just kind of thought this will never happen. And then when it did, and we saw just how dismissive and disrespectful they were to the public and the community that elected them, I thought there is so much more going on here. You know, and I knew then, like, something's up. There's something behind this. Mm-hmm. I knew this was much more than a name. And so that's kind of where it started.
Yeah. And then we formed Voice. And we've got a pretty good board. And we've been fighting it for the last 5 years and 5 months.
I have a clip.
Wow,
here.
It's been 5 years.
Yes. 5 years.
That's a fight. That's exactly what I said.
And the community is still divided.
So I've taken the liberty of going through here, and we marked out a few spots within this long clip here to kind of try to give people the overview, the highlight of what was going on behind the scenes. So I apologize if it's low. I'm sure the parts that we're trying to let the those of you out there listening hear, I try to make sure those were loud. So take a listen to this. I think what you're getting ready to hear right now is the fact in this portion of the clip, you're going to hear the fact that they're trying to hide the issue from the people right now until after a bond election. They knew it was unpopular is the takeaway. and hear for yourself.
It would be wise to still do the process this year, but delay the meetings that I need to have till November, December, January, somewhere further down the line, so that we can work through our strategic planning and our bond elections, and then be.
So right there it is. He wants to make sure that they get through that bond election. That it's about power, it's about money, it's about whatever. But they knew that if the issue came forward before that time, that they risked being exposed. So I have one other portion. And would you guys want to speak to that before I move on to the next?
I just wanted to say that it's telling to me that they wanted to wait. They obviously knew that the community majority was against this, or they wouldn't have worried about delaying it.
Yeah, they put a lot of thought and discussion into delaying it. So they were well aware that it was not popular in the community. They knew.
So basically, this entire thing was not organic, and it seemed that they had an agenda to change the name before any of that even happened, and they're trying to figure out different ways on how they can actually get this accomplished, as opposed to an organic movement coming out and speaking up, saying, hey, that this is offensive. All the community members in there seem to have this understanding that it's not, but there's this outside source coming in and kind of trying to figure out various ways to change the name, because something else there's something else behind the scenes here.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. If we get to it too soon, I think it'll undermine the issue, because I want to take them through this chronologically. There's a linear path here that I think people really need to get, so that they understand the full ramifications of that outside influence and the involvement of those, not only in the school board, but in the university. Now, this next clip is they're choosing committee members. And it sounds to me, and you guys, hear for yourself, but it sounds to me like they're trying to intentionally choose like-minded folks. Listen.
As well as putting together a committee of individuals that are passionate about this, but level-headed.
So my thought, and I did call and talk to Rich last week because I wanted to know where we were at. I guess in the conversation that Rich and I had, where in our discussion before, we thought there was a possibility that we could transition beginning with the 2019-2020 school year. He thought it might have to be pushed back another year. I completely agree that it needs to wait until after the bond election. Problem with that. I guess from a personal perspective, I'd still like to see an organization of the committees, and something so that we're in a position to start, not necessarily November 7th, but no. We'd dive right into it. And I would still like to see any ever possible, if the timeline feels like you could still do it for the 2019-2020, start with the 2019 year. I was still pushing that direction personally, but the timing of it does need to have the community support,
right.
Obviously. And so in the creation of, I spent a little bit of time with Becky Bronson last week, and she had names of people who are Redmond graduates who have expressed to her that they would like to be a part of the community committee, who, interestingly enough, there were a handful of them that were very much in favor of changing the mascot, even though they're Redmond.
So there he's digging for gold, looking for people who were affiliated with Redmond, but also would be on their side. And as they talked about November 7th being the day after the election. So one day after the election, now we've consolidated our power. Let's choose this committee who's like-minded, who we can get this ball rolling in that direction, will tell the story the way we want it told. But you guys, tell me a little bit about the names mentioned.
Becky Bronson that they mentioned is a former school board member. So she had resigned because she moved, and they appointed, Michelle Lambert, who you hear on there, to place her. She was illegally appointed, I can add. But that's Becky Bronson that they're talking to about helping them stack the committee with people that they think will be in favor of changing the name.
Mm. I mean, if they were unbiased, they wouldn't be finding out that type of information.
And this is in August, mind you. So this gives them several months to get names of people and have this committee stacked and ready to go in November. Mm-hmm. So they're doing their research. Then they're not planning if they should change the name. They're planning how they're going to change the name.
Mm-hmm. And then they used the book to convince them all to change the name was straight out of John Podesta's. What was the
Center for American Progress?
Yes, Center for American
Progress. It's a huge leftist think tank. It's anti-American to the core. And that is the information that was given to the committee, all one-sided, you know, in favor of changing the name. And that's even the people that weren't pro-Redmond, you know, they did put some people on there that were neutral. And they were disgusted by the information they were given in those committee meetings.
Hmm. So I have one more piece of this clip I want to play before we move on. Here it is.
They're there. The discussion's ensuing by several. So
it'd be wise to help guide the narrative.
Right. And again, I mean,
that says it all. I don't really have to let that whole minute plus play out. She says it right there. We need to control the narrative.
Yes.
And that's that's completely telling. Go ahead, Maurice. I apologize.
So that was a public meeting that was recorded.
Yes,
it was. And it sure seems like there's an agenda to get this done that the people and this is definitely a pattern throughout the entire country, because what we see with removal of representation is that people are shocked or surprised by this, as opposed to actually wanting to represent Native Americans. They're not going to Native Americans and saying, hey, we want to represent you better. How do you think this would be done? They're going in saying, we need to change American history or Native American history and eradicate certain aspects of it. And it seems, for some reason, I'm not sure why Native Americans, as far as representation has gone, has been targeted. I'm not sure why that is, but it definitely feels that way. And I mean, for you guys being able to hold this or help hold this off for 5 years is pretty astounding. But I mean, after this happened, like what was the kind of the next steps that they had taken in order to get this done?
Well, I think we should first mention that the bond did not pass, $93 million. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any bond in Cedar City that had not passed, because people are very friendly to education here. And the other thing is, I had a friend whose daughter was selected to be on that committee because she was a student leader. She came home bawling because of the propaganda that shown her mom. You know, she really felt that she, as a white person, had caused all these problems. She just wanted to graduate and get out of there. It hurt her so bad.
Yeah, and we can send you a copy of the materials that was submitted, and it's pretty shocking. Yeah.
I'd be very interested. This is not going to be the last time we visit this situation.
I would imagine. I mean, these materials were pre-printed. It's like a step-by-step guide for schools on how to change their name. And I would imagine many, many school boards have used the same materials to change their names, because it is a step-by-step guide. And it is from a very far-left, anti-American think tank. I mean, that's really what this is about. I mean, Maurice, where you said you don't know why they're targeting Native Americans, I believe it's because these organizations are anti-American. That is what they are. They don't like America, anything that we stand for, right? Well, you don't get more American than Native Americans. I mean, the American Indian is so iconic, and just, it is the only original part about America, you know? And it's just like, you cannot destroy America without destroying that foundation. And that's where I believe the Native Americans are just, I mean, the vitriol that the left and the globalists have for Native Americans is simply, they just want them gone. You know, they want.
Well, it's easy for the bullies to pick on the most minority of all minorities.
Right.
And they just cause chaos. That's all they want to do is cause
chaos. But this country was founded on the beliefs and ideologies of Native Americans. That is a fact. You know, that's where that comes from. I mean, the Iroquois, and the, you know, our own constitution is mirrored after their constitution.
The Great,
it was the Iroquois Confederacy, I believe it was called. The founding fathers had taken a look at, and it helped inspire the individualism and the respect that they had, and how our rights stem from God and various things like that. So yeah, I mean, that's one thing that people have forgotten or have not been taught, is that Native Americans had a huge influence on the founding of this country and the development of this country as it went along. It wasn't all cowboys versus Indians. That's not how it went. I mean, there were some parts that did go that way, but yeah, I fully agree with that. That's,
well, and I think, you know, I mean, just as a country, we've just always been Native centric since our founding, since the conception, Native centric. You know, it was in money, buildings. The first medal given to anyone for wartime was from George Washington to Chief Red Jacket. You know, it's just been there, you know, and I firmly believe this is just an anti-American movement, the same people against destroying Thomas Jefferson, Washington, George Washington, and, you know, our Constitution.
Even Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, they went
after Abraham. It's all tied together, and you have to destroy it all. And Native Americans and the American Indian history
is the root.
I mean, that is our foundation. You cannot destroy America without destroying that foundation.
Let's take a quick pause for our sponsors. We'll come right back and get right back into this.
Okay. Greetings, kindred spirits. Welcome to Smoking Gun Coffee, where the essence of the land infuses every sip. It carries the spirit of reverence for the earth and its gifts. As you indulge in our carefully crafted blends, envision the dance of the winds and the whispers of ancient trees. Let each cup be a journey through time, a tribute to the harmony found in nature. Smoking Gun Coffee, a ritual of warmth, a connection to the sacred. Embrace the rich tapestry of flavors and join us in honoring the legacy of the land. Taste the spirit, savor the journey. Smoking Gun Coffee, where every cup is a celebration of our shared connection.
Go to smokinggunco-coffee.com, use discount code NativePatriot, one word. I love that commercial.
You guys can also get to it at thepatriotsprayer.com. Go to the top, you'll see Smoking Gun Coffee. Also, all the supplies that you would need for famine supplies, MREs, generators, you name it. It's all there. Everything is there, guys. So do, when you have an opportunity, go over and check out the Patriot Shop as well. T-shirts, merch, all those things that keep us able to do what we're doing. So we really appreciate those who support us. Now, on to this is, you know, so your next step in combating the cultural cleansing happening in the community, like how are we now? How do we fare? What are you up against as far as what are the next steps in preserving that culture, that imagery, that what's coming up next? What's our next battle?
Well, we're currently in the middle of one right now. Andrea, I, Lisa, and other voice members have been to either and or all have been to school board meetings since every month, August, and we push Redmond front and center. We didn't deal with any other issues that we wanted to give opinion on. We made Redmond front and center at that point.
We just haven't let up.
Actually,
not let up.
June of 23, we gave them, Andrea, we gave them Eunice's book, Aren't I Sioux Enough? We gave, and I'm talking the school board, all the members. Aren't I Sioux Enough? We have a booklet ourselves that we put together of our complete timeline of what happened with the Redmond eradication. Andre Billadoux, what's his name? Andrea, can you hear us? Andrea?
What's Andre's book called? He's going to kill me.
Andre, so he's going to kill me too. Something about Redmond.
No, it's about Redskins. How you became a Redskin or something? How Redskins got her name.
That's
yes.
It.
Oh, she can't hear us. Remove your headsets.
Unplug it from the computer.
Unplug it.
She can't hear you.
Yeah, no, she can't. But she understood the sign language.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So, okay, while she's doing that, let me ask you. So you guys created an online petition. You got 6,058 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 60,000.
Very short amount of time.
You have 60,000 people in population in your area where we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. That includes the university, the students. So,
okay. And another thing too is that was an online petition through change.org. So not everybody here is online, believe me. Okay. And it just happened within a few days.
Yes, that was just a couple
just
of days.
Just a few days.
Okay. Well, we're gonna push that. So if somebody would feel free to get me that petition, mm-hmm. I'm gonna make sure it gets blasted out everywhere. Guys, look for that petition in the link of the podcast. We're also probably just gonna blast it out all over our social media as well. So look forward to that. Please, guys, sign it. And if you haven't at this point in the podcast, please go over, click that like, follow, subscribe button. Go over to Rumble, do the same. Join us on our locals. So I definitely would be remiss if I didn't bring that up. Go ahead.
Can
I say one thing real quick? That petition is closed now. This happened 5 years ago.
We need a new one.
I really want to congratulate you guys on being able to, keep the name for this long and stay in the fight, because a lot of the times people will either give up, or what we did notice is that there were a lot of Native American imagery that was taken out at that time. I mean, the Redskins were taken out, the Cleveland Indians. I mean, there was a big push. The Land O'Lakes Lady was around that same time as well. It seems that there was a big push to just erase it completely, and that they had their agenda, and that it spread all throughout, I mean, sports,
yes,
towns, schools. Yes. I mean, it's happening everywhere. So I do want to give a little congratulations. Well, I guess a big congratulations to you guys for being able to sustain yourselves throughout the entirety of this fight. So,
really, we've had a lot of community support. I mean, the majority of this community they don't back this new name change. I mean, some of them are like, you know, whatever, let it go. But by large, our community is very supportive. And we have, you know, we've had landmarks. We've got this huge water tank on top of the hill that overlooks our high school that has the Redmond name and logo on it that the city owns, and they will not change it. They passed a resolution to not change it. The street in front of the high school is Redmond Way. That is still, they won't change that either. So we do have a lot of things in the community members that aren't letting this go.
In fact, the water tank needed to be repainted, and the city council approved our petition, and we raised the money, and I think the labor was donated, and it was repainted.
So I'm going to be coming your way within the next probably 2-3 weeks, right? And I would love to be introduced to the community at large and kind of get some firsthand perspectives from people, and be taken to these different areas, to the school, to the water tower, and all of that. I want to see. And you know, and I think that
better
understanding of your community as a whole.
Yeah, it is powerful. It really is powerful. And another thing to note is that we have an entirely new school board right now. We've got 7 people. We expanded from 5 to 7. Nobody from the name change is here. They're gone. They've either moved away, they didn't run again, but they're gone. And I mean, that is very telling. You know, the backlash from our community was not great for these people, and some of them had to move.
So who are some of the main players involved in trying to get this removed? And whether it be on the school board or the community, like who is trying to still pushing to get this changed?
Well, I mean, no, the change has happened.
The change is done. It happened.
We're trying to get it back.
Yes, they did change it against the wishes of the community. They did change the name. They voted, you know, to change it. And we're trying to get it back. We're trying to get it reinstated.
Ironic thing is the name is now Reds. We're now the Reds.
Yes, they changed from Redmen to Reds,
which has the same connotation for definition of slurdo Native American person.
They love the dictionary definition of it's a slur, but that Reds is actually worse. And not only that, but now it's communist, which is ironic because they were acting like communists. Like they just completely disregarded due process and their constitutional oath and just went full commie on this and just changed it.
Let me ask you guys. So I'm going to bring up some names and I think this is what Marius was alluding to, and just kind of give me the backstory of some of these folks. I'm going to just spit out some names. So I got Steve Allen, Ben Johnson, Tiffany Christensen, Michelle Lambert, and Helena Kanosh, who I did a little bit of digging into. But let's start with Stephen Allen. He was
the vice president of international students at Southern Utah University and directly oversaw the Confucius Institute and was instrumental in getting it changed to the Helen Foster Snow, whatever it is, foundation. And then he was the school board president at the time and was very much in favor of the change and put his wife on the committee.
He's also implemented Chinese immersion programs in our elementary schools.
Wow. So there we have the Confucius Institute. Our followers know exactly what that is. This is a communist organization inside the United States. Trump took a very hard stance against them. A lot of them were disbanded. They were accused of money laundering and all sorts of nefarious things, including espionage, the secret police stations that were operating within the United States borders. And these people were very much involved with them. And now that same Confucius Institute is now named the Helen Snow Foundation. But for those in the description of this podcast, guys, go down and take a look at that link. It's there. And what you'll see at that Helen Snow Foundation is that it may as well say Confucius Institute on it. Take a look at that. This is how they're disguising what they're doing. So what I'm hearing here is that the origins of the communist Marxist attack on the Native American imagery, in your case, will really derive from people who got their ideology from communism that were affiliated with the Confucius Institutes.
Thank you. Yes, that was our school board president. He was very, very much in favor and instrumental in the change.
I never thought in a million years I'd be able to tie a bow on that one. How in the hell you go from dealing with Native American imagery in a school name and have that lead you back to China and the Confucius Institute? This is mind-blowing. And then I think this is a worth a look. It's something that we need to take a look at nationwide. And I believe it all starts at the universities. What do you think here, Maurice?
I think that it's absolutely crazy how it always seems to lead back to communism. And I know that it's almost become like cliche at this point to say that, it's the commies' fault. But I mean, really, there over and over again, I mean, we've seen attacks on our country, whether it be through TikTok or whether it be through changing towns' names or in canceling imagery. This wokeness, it is a communist tactic, and it is hitting at so many different levels, and people have no idea that this has been in motion for a long time, and that these names, these representations, they're more important than we realize. There's a reason that they're attacking our foundation, the foundations of our country. I mean, it is part of American history, and it needs to be remembered, and people really need to understand that these attacks aren't going to let up, and that, I mean, 5 years later, you guys are still in the fight, and it's almost impossible to get it back because, I love to hear that spirit, and that's why you guys are still in the fight. And we never let it go.
It's still here. It is still here. It is all around us.
We made promises.
It's everywhere.
We made promises
to 650 students at the high school that came out of the high school and drove into the high school and came to us for little gifts that we were giving them. Oh, we lost Maurice. Where is he?
He'll be back.
He's a Redman. He'll be back.
And then we promised kids throughout the entire community that we run into. We wear our Redman affiliated shirts, and they always stop and engage in the conversation how they want to be Redman.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys can get into like an auditorium size. How many kids do you think you can get together in a rally and an event that if you were able to hold one, just to kind of bring more awareness to this? Is that possible? Is that something you guys
think we want to involve the kids like that right now? Yeah. They were really abused with the whole change thing in the first place. Like I told you, the two ballots that were thrown out.
I mean,
they went through a lot. This is a decision for adults to make.
Really is.
Mm-hmm. The adults made the problem.
I'm talking about more or less like an event or something where you're like.
I think once we get the name back, we'll definitely do that. But I mean, I can tell you, I talk to dozens of kids every day. Mm-hmm. And for the past 5 years, you know, and I ask them, you know, they'll walk in and they'll be wearing a red shirt, you know, from the high school, Reds. And I say, you know, respectfully, of course, you know, what does that mean to you? How do you feel about that name change? And first of all, I've never gotten a consistent answer on what that name means to any of them. They don't know. They just don't know what that name means. And some of them laugh it off and they say, yeah, we'll get the name back. And others joke that they drop men. So, of course, it's, you know, the whole man-hater thing. And, you know, they, so it's crazy. Some of them call them commies. It's just, it's sad. It honestly, it's heartbreaking to me because the school spirit is gone. It used to be there. It was so strong. Communities from all around would talk about it. And
I've not heard one teenager given a legitimate description of what it means to be a Red that doesn't have a derogatory idea attached to it.
Or just nothingness. Or honestly, nothing. It's just they don't know.
What were the color Red? Oh, you're the color Red. Okay.
They don't know what that means. And it's, you know, and just the irony of them being the Reds. I'm like, you've got to, of all the names, I'm just like, really? And then when you look at the roots of who it's coming from, I'm like, oh, of course. You know, it is sad. It really is sad.
Let me ask you about Ben Johnson.
He is the current school board president.
Okay.
He has not been in there long. He's only, this is what, his second year?
Second year, yeah.
So he's new. And, you know, he's local, but he didn't go to the Cedar High School. He kind of went to a neighboring town. So he doesn't care because he doesn't get it. He does not understand just how big the big picture, he doesn't get it. He's looking at it as a mascot, which I hate that word because it's not even what this means.
Is he affiliated with Stephen Allen in some way?
Oh, he works for the college.
He does. He works at the university.
The university is probably the single largest employer.
They are the largest employer in our area. So many of our school board members from years past, they a lot of them seem to have come from SUU. So there's that problem.
What about Michelle Lambert?
She's at the university.
She does. She's employed by the university, and she was the school board president before Ben Johnson.
Okay.
She was between Stephen Allen and Ben Johnson.
Yes, and she was the one who was appointed illegally, basically. And, you know, by being appointed, it's like you can't even get rid of her. But then we ended up with this school board president who wasn't actually elected really in the beginning.
She ran again
shortly after. Yeah,
and she didn't run against anybody, I don't think.
She was unappointed
and she was an incumbent and unopposed.
Yeah, and it's hard to get rid of an incumbent, but she did run unopposed, but she was illegally appointed.
So tell me about the violation of the Sunshine Law and what took place there. What was that?
Well, that's the open meetings laws, you know, where public meetings have to have, you know, so much notice. They have to be open to the public. And their first couple meetings that they had regarding the Redman issue.
The change committee.
Mm-hmm. The change committee specifically did not follow the Sunshine Laws of being open to the public, where public was given notice, allowed to attend or witness. They did not do that. So we did have a reporter who found out they were doing that, and she exposed them. you know, for not following that. And then after
I think the
that,
last one,
the last meeting was open to the public.
Yes. Yeah, so, and it was interesting to me too, that to discuss and to learn and to study a complicated issue. They had three meetings.
They did. But they knew, I mean, just looking at the materials used, they, and listening to that meeting, they knew what they were doing. They already had planned they were going to change the name. It wasn't a matter of if, just how. And that is obvious to everyone. And which is that where I get so upset or passionate about this, where it's just like, you know, just the nefariousness of it, the deceptiveness, you know, how they manipulated our entire community as elected representatives. You know, they took an oath and they completely violated it. And for me, I'm just like, we can't let that stand. What kind of message does that send our kids? You know, that we can let corrupt elected representatives do this and we just roll over and move on. Like, that is such a dangerous message to send our children.
And I think that's why we keep fighting, is because it was an insult to the community. And we look at it, we go, well, we either stand up or we don't, but we've chosen to stand up because not on my watch, not now, not now.
There's so much going on, and it's, and you know, like Marie said, it's everywhere. I mean, it's from statues to, you know, murals and flags. My God, the amount of flags that are changing, and all the history and Native American and just American representation that's being lost and changed. I mean, that's, it's awful, and it's happening everywhere, and it's a very much Marxist tactic, and it's obvious.
I have one more clip I want to play so that people can hear the arguments from both sides and what is going on internally here. And this is a clip from your local Fox station, I believe. So let's take a look.
A controversial topic brought back around in southern Utah.
The term Redmen is a term not recognized within Native American communities as paying respect to the history and legacy of this nation's first people, but rather a slang term that has been used for over 200 years to attribute racial defamation to Native people.
Paiute leaders say calling the Cedar High School mascot the Redmen dishonors Native Americans.
The term redskin or red man came from two places. One, our skin color and the cruel torture of skinning Native Americans in the 1800s for bounties.
Autumn Gillard says at the time when Cedar High School adopted the Redmen, Paiutes living in Iron County were at a low in their tribal history.
Paiute Indian tribal members were faced with starvation, low income, epidemic of disease, discrimination, segregation, and forced sterilization of our women.
But some community members, like Cedar High School alumni, are fighting to bring back the Redmen.
It's not about a racial slur or any other thing. It is a badge of honor that they wear.
Longtime residents take pride in the name.
Redmen is an honorable and cultural rich Native American name that should be respected, not erased. The name keeps our community tied to Native American heritage and motivates our youth and community to learn and take pride in our Native American heritage.
Many Native American residents themselves expressing their support for the Redmen.
I understand what the tribe is saying, but they do not speak for every single Native American. My children and many others found that name prideful.
Jenna Bree, Fox 13 News, Utah.
Now, within the past 30 minutes, the school board decided they are going to draft a proposal to put the Redmen versus Red up for a public vote no later than the November election.
Isn't that absolutely crazy that they, I mean, I want to bring this up again, that the fact that they kept Red. I mean,
it's reds.
So red. not men. No, there's no reference to you know them being strong or I mean I literally don't get it.
Red is not binary, Maurice.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's not. But get this, because this is awesome. So when after they had voted to change the name at the high school, they allowed the student body to vote. They were giving the student body a chance to pick their new name, right? So the kids chose Redmen, overwhelmingly chose Redmen.
Wow.
And they did it again.
Well, the first vote, the first ballot, paper ballot, they had Redmond as a choice.
As a choice.
They could mark
off. Yes, they all chose Redmond.
The second ballot, because they threw away the first vote.
They did. They started
They gave them a second one without Redmond as a choice. But the smart kids wrote Redmond on it.
So twice, the student body twice voted to keep the Redmond name.
And then the third and final
completely ignored,
which they would then accept was done online, and there was no choice for Redmond online.
Yeah, they did. And all the kids didn't even get it. They were supposed to be sent this link or, you know, go to this and vote. And so I heard from so many parents and kids that were like, I didn't get that. I didn't get to vote. Yeah. And then it was just like on a Friday before spring break, the principal just was like, all right, this is what we're doing. And just chose it and put it out to the community. And that has just, they've run with it ever since. And they it's so crazy. But twice those kids chose Redmond.
Well, there's also the funding for the Helen Foster Institute. Where is that coming from?
China.
Who else? I don't know.
Okay. So
where else would it come from?
There's a large statue out front, which you guys indicated, you know, that was paid for.
It's on the city park.
Yeah. It's in the city park.
Amazing. So Tiffany runs unopposed. I got the right one, right? She's runs unopposed.
No.
Tiffany didn't run unopposed. No. Michelle Lambert ran unopposed.
Michelle Lambert. Thank you. She ran unopposed. And then where is she today? What is her position today right now?
She's still at SUU. She works at SUU.
So that was because I believe her name was the one, and correct me if I'm wrong, her voice was the one on the recording, right?
She's the one who says we need to guide the narrative.
That's what I'm getting at.
That's Michelle Lambert. And she was the school board president before the one we have now.
She also said that SUU knows about this as if she's talking as if they're receiving marching orders from the university.
Right. They talk about this with SUU, and they talk about it with some people at the Paiute tribe before they even, you know, months before any of this other stuff happens. And the Paiute tribe, you know, they have five bands, and the Cedar band is the one that is local, but they are not by any means the majority of the Native Americans in our community. I think biggest group is the Navajos that we have here. You know, the Paiute tribe is our official tribe that we have their land here, you know, their reservation land here, but they don't represent the largest natives there.
Yeah, we're Redmond. We're not Paiute. We're not Navajo.
Yes.
We're not Hopi.
Which is why they chose Redmond, because it's an all-inclusive term that many tribes known to use that name historically over centuries even.
And we represent both ancient and modern too.
Yes. Yeah, we have over 3,000 petroglyphs within 30 minutes any direction. There's petroglyphs 200 yards from the school board meeting room. It's ridiculous. So
here is a public hearing where a young man to show his pride and his culture, he comes out and does a dance and full gear. I mean, just look at this, guys.
It's beautiful.
Yes, his regalia is beautiful.
Let me get back to where it was. I don't want to miss a beat.
Responsibility between students, because they kind of have the understanding of, if I'm using my phone, I'm not learning X, Y, and Z from the teacher, and then my grade's going to reflect that. And so I think that when we use our cell phones in classrooms, they can become more of a tool, and I don't think that we should take that away, but we should find other ways to use them appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. I need her rings because I get nervous speaking. But on behalf of me and my family, we're going to do a little show. We're proud to be Redmond. Thank you.
Isn't it crazy how they all stand up and applaud that, but then they won't take what he did or what they say really into consideration?
Well, his mother's next, and it's her speech is beautiful.
Yeah.
After that?
After that, yeah. His mother speaks.
So there's a really interesting...
Go ahead, Maurice. I don't want to... I'll play the speech after you talk.
It's a really interesting part to this entire thing, and I think that a lot of people who are awake or aware, rather, of what's going on in this country, they don't, or they understand that this wokeness, this deletion of history and representation, that it's not actually popular. That there's so many people who actually support these things, and they don't see it as an insult, and they like the representation, but there's just a never-ending force that keeps coming for these things. And it seems like in a lot of ways in how they did that survey, where they tried once, they didn't get the result they wanted. They tried again, slightly different. They still didn't get the result they wanted. So they put it out a third time online, made sure that the result they wanted was going to get achieved. And that's kind of how it feels with everything in American culture, is that people are kind of taken aback by this, because it's, I mean, just one day, a lot of people just realize that, oh, the Redskins are now the, what Commanders. Are they, the Commanders? Yeah.
Commanders.
Yeah. The Redskins are suddenly the Commanders. And they're like, what? Why?
They're the Commies. Like the Commanders, yeah. Short for Commies. Right.
The irony, yeah. It's unbelievable. It's just, it's crazy how lost it is on so many people, where I'm like, holy, like,
it's crazy.
Here's another little bit of information. When we first formed Voice, we had three Native American students come to us with their parents to tell us about the humility they suffered at the high school. And it was before the change. But there were certain faculty and staff members that had said some very humiliating things to these kids. That's another reason why I'll never give up the fight. They had no right to twist those kids' minds into telling them they were too stupid to understand.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the only actual report of bullying from Native American kids that's in even on record, you know, with our police department or school district, is Native American students who were bullied by the administration. After the name change, they would not stand and sing the new school song. And they were told, you know, stand up and sing the song or you have to leave. And they wouldn't do it. And they filed a report against the administrators and the principal who did that. That is the only report of bullying even on file. And it's against the school district.
So listen carefully what Sally's mom has to say, and then we'll fill you in on the end of that, what it meant.
Okay, let's listen.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sully's mom, and I just wanted to give you a little background about Sully, share a little bit about him, because he's so happy to share his culture. And, you know, Sully, during the COVID, when we were doing the online schooling, and we couldn't talk to anybody, and we couldn't, you know, even talk to our neighbors or whatever, this is where he felt the strongest to learn to dance. And he went out and he practiced every single day. And when we talked to him about what happened, like why, you know, how did this just overtake you? He really has that strong feeling to dance. He said, I dance because I dance for the people who can't dance. I dance for the people who can't talk, who can't come out and do it themselves, for healing, for just all those things that he was feeling in his heart. And that's why he's dancing tonight as well, is because, you know, some people don't have a voice. And, you know, to put it just locally in our community, when we got out of COVID and he wanted to dance, he wanted to share it with everybody. And we contacted Canyon View High School. We contacted Cedar High School. And he wanted to dance at the halftime shows. You know, do a little, it takes maybe 5 minutes, as you can see, you know, it just depends, but not very long. He just wanted to get out and share. Canyon View had him at that next game that night, and we have yet to hear back from Cedar High School. They never did, and that makes me sad. They don't dare, or they're nervous, or whatever it may be, you know, to let somebody come and share their culture. A little kid like that feels it so strongly, it's just pushed down. You can't do it. You can't share it. And so I think that's you know, part of why he wanted to dance, and part of as a parent we wanted to come out and share, not just, you know, for the Redmond name or what you know that, but just to share our culture, you know, so that you guys could feel a little bit of that spirit that, you know, we get to feel when we go out to the powwows, when we get to, you know, go to the ceremonies and share some of those things that are very sacred and very strong to us. For me personally, it feels like we can't sometimes because of this that's going on, the controversy, and I just hope that we gather together the community and do what's best for our community, not what everybody else is doing or that. I don't want to disrespect anybody or, you know, we're not about that either, but just, you know, listen to our community members and see what's in their heart and how, you know, how they're feeling as well. So thank you for letting us share.
Thank you for sharing.
This is exactly the reason why we helped Holden Armenta get to the Super Bowl. This is the reason why, is because Native Americans are getting to the point where they're ashamed to even show themselves. That anybody seeing a Native American, it's now deemed racist. Like if we take part in our own culture and do a dance or wear a headdress or however you want to represent it, when Native Americans take part in their own culture, it is deemed racist. Isn't that insane? Yes. Holy crap.
And I say this, you know, go ahead.
No, this is complete racism, and it's disguised as something that's like sensitive to the cause or respectful. Right. But you're erasing the culture, you're ignoring the culture, you're paying no homage to it. If they were anywhere that they cared about, like you said, the word red versus red men, what is the connotation? Where does that come from? It looks like it has communist sources. These people are at the heads of each one of these departments, or elected officials are tied back to this university, which is tied to this Confucius Institute by another name. People need to understand the bigger picture here.
Yes, absolutely. And that's what we started in June of 23, presented with the booklet. And then for the next few months, we read letters from alumni who are American Indian. We read letters from Naga board members. We gave speeches, and Julia Kasus Gyan spoke in August, September, October, November, and December. I don't think she was January, though, was she?
No, was January.
Okay, so 5 months she spoke, and she's Navajo. She's alumni of Cedar City and shared her story of how, well, you know what, Andrea, why don't you tell that story?
Yeah,
you know,
Julie was in my class at Cedar High School, and she came from off the reservation in New Mexico, I think, to come here to go to school. Her parents wanted to give her an opportunity to education, and she lived with a family in Cedar City. They are her Cedar City parents. And it was, you can imagine being putting on a trail race bus and sent as a 12-year-old to some other state to go to school. And they took her in. They're her family. She calls them her family. And she felt very lost and very alone. And it's very different culture. And they took her to a Cedar High football game. And she walked into the stadium and saw the drums and saw the name Redmond. And she says, I knew I was home. She graduated from Cedar High. She graduated from the university. And now, and her kids wanted to come back to Cedar City to go to university.
And they own the Navajo Crafting Company locally.
Yes. And Julie is a beautiful silversmith. She makes jewelry and is there at her daughter's store in town.
And she is a woman of such inner strength.
No, she's got an incredible energy. And she has spoken many school board meetings. And This last school board meeting, you know, that they had that was so public, where they, you know, were voting on whether to reinstate or put it on the ballot. The first 10 minutes of this meeting, you listen to these 7 elected representatives argue amongst themselves about whether or not they're going to silence this one person.
Well,
Julia.
It's because of Ben Johnson was the one that
up. They were terrified to let her speak because she's so powerful and so authentic.
Let's say who they is. I mean,
not all of them. No, there was a couple of them that were arguing because mm-hmm. some of them knew, like, we can't silence her. You cannot do that. It's a public meeting. And she has spoke so many times, but it was just shocking, you know, where these 7 people are trying to reestablish trust and transparency. And they start a meeting out trying to silence this.
Well, they Ben Johnson, the president. I looked it up. The school board handbook and the district handbook both say to for public comment that you state your name, your residence, and what school district you're in. It mm-hmm. never limits anybody outside. It doesn't mm-hmm. ever say you specifically you can't speak. So Ben Johnson reads a statement that it is limited to residents, students, and employees of the school.
Mm-hmm. Right. He tried to pass a motion for that, for them to vote on.
Well, it wasn't a motion for, he stated that as if it was policy. It's not policy. No. Okay. He stated as policy.
So yeah, he stood up and lied as if he were reading something that wasn't even in front of him.
Exactly.
To try to make it seem like
woman has spoke since August every yes. single month, and all of a sudden she was off limits.
It was a packed room, and they knew how powerful they she is just undeniable. And you can listen to her speech because she does end up speaking at the end. And
these are outspoken members of the socialist regime, right? These people are devout socialists. Who was it? A couple.
I'm gonna say that.
Are you talking about the board members?
Yeah,
there not all board members. We've got some fantastic board members that are well yeah. aware of what's going on.
No, but there were some. And
It sure seems like these.
I have it over here.
Public. It sure seems like these public meetings are a nuisance to them that they're just trying to get through.
Oh yes.
Well, they hate us. This subject is a nuisance to them. But we're not going to let it drop. Somebody needs to figure out what to do.
I have faith
that they will eventually do it one way or another. But
they're trying to pass another bond, is what it is. They need our money.
Did you guys see the kind of support you're giving? The kind of support you guys are giving to bring the name back. Did you ever see that same kind of support to get rid of it?
No. Well, I mean, no, but once I dug deeper and I knew, I know the roots and these organizations, and they are anti-American. And ironically, they're a bunch of rich old white guys that the opposition claims to hate. And it's just like, well, you're doing everything, you know, you're erasing yourselves. Because they said so. And it's so crazy that they can't see it, where it's like this, oh, you know, they hate the white men, and they're doing their bidding. It's insane.
We're laughing. We're like, okay, well, maybe we should just let the red men go, and we'll just name it the white men. And then what will happen?
That would be
accused of racism.
It would be an honor, because that's what you do. But like, as a culture and as a society, where it's like they're so anti-white, right? They want to blame everything on the white men, but they are allowing our society and country to be completely whitewashed, where it's like all we have left is this, like,
that's the trick
on the Quaker Oats thing. It's like that's who we have left.
Don't forget Mr. Clean.
I refer to the Democratic Party as the Confederacy 2.0, and it's that's insane. The reason why it's nuts. But absolutely. I was alluding to the guy Brad Cook.
He was the dean at the university, and he's the one who brought in the Confucius Institute.
Okay,
he was
the provost. Brad Cook is the provost. He's a member of the DSA alongside of Rashida Tlaib, for those of you who don't know. So we're still making socialist connections to communist movements behind the scenes, which is at the root of these name changes.
And right. Can I add at the meeting in February, when they eradicated the name, we show up to the school board meeting. There's a whole bunch of Not Your Mascot signs professionally done. They have,
Center for American Justice.
The signs weren't. The signs were the Answer Coalition.
Yeah.
Answer Coalition
is there with the Thalia. Yeah, that's the Thalia Guerrero. That's who that is, and so the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, that is a Jay Sekulow thing. I would be very surprised if he was involved in.
No, it was
the Center for American Progress. That's the one where the book that they have a committee. That's the organization that gives them the step by step guide, and that's the John Podesta Foundation.
Andrea, you were saying tell them about the meeting. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, well, it was just that they had all these made professionally made signs the meeting? Answer, that says not your mascot on the bottom, answer coalition.
Okay, she's coming in and out.
I can hear.
Okay, is this better?
I can hear her just good.
I was fiddling with
you. Can hear her right now?
I can hear her.
I can hear her just fine.
Okay.
Okay, I can't, but I'll trust you guys.
Well, I was shocked to walk into the meeting because it was a surprise to all of us what was going on. And they had professionally made signs that they had would have known in advance, you know, that said not your mascot with the name Answer Coalition on the
bottom. They were all college students.
They were. And they got credit for being there. Later, some of those kids said, I'm just here because my professor gave me credit for coming. So it's like they had to stack that room with college kids, you know, these university kids who were getting extra credit from their They said that. And the thing is, you know, you mentioned Brad Cook, you know, being the provost, his son and his wife,
now wife, girlfriend, then,
you know, they're the head of the SUU for socialism club over there. They were the main ones, but her mother, get this, she was a previous school board member, Becky Bronson.
So here is the Answer Coalition, guys. And here's what you got to understand about the Answer Coalition. The Answer Coalition are pro-Palestinian radicals.
Yes, they are.
And they are an anti-Israeli group, which are also connected to the DSA. And you'll see that these people are all receiving their money from outside of the country. As a matter of fact, when I looked into this yesterday, they were actually said to have ties to the PLO. For those of you who don't know, that's the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They are a radical group who was also connected to Obama at one point. So listen, it still goes back to the same root. People, right. we're not fighting people within our own culture, own country, trying to preserve it just against board members and elected officials. What we have just rooted out right now and what we just went through is we've rooted out the fact that we have foreign involvement in our local governments and our local universities on all levels, all the way down to the school board level, that are being affected by China.
All connected. They're all anti-American groups. They're all trying to destroy us from within and succeeding. And we are up against these massive, huge organizations that are so well funded and they just run like clockwork and they've been doing it for decades. So they know what they're doing and they're hard to beat.
These Answer Coalition folks are involved with Native American tribes and a very small percentage of Native American tribes across the United States. And you'll note, and we've had our own run-ins, Maurice and I, with those who think or treat members of Palestine as if they're just a distant tribe.
Right.
They kind of got that mentality and that's how they look at it. And it's terrible, but really what they're doing is they're taking people that have little to no means. They've created an organization around them to make sure those people with little to no means now receive a paycheck. Now they have a paycheck. They have notoriety. They belong to an organization. They have a position. And now if they back off of the narrative in any way, shape, or form, they lose their paycheck. So this isn't about what they believe. It's about what they're getting paid to say.
So can you go over that Thalia Guerrero and how she's associated with the Red Men and with this organization?
Well, the speech that she gave the march that she was involved in, I looked her up, which is how I found the Answer Coalition.
She was on the change.org petition against the Red Men.
So when I looked her up, that's how I found the Answer Coalition. That was how one thing led to the other. So she was actually speaking at an event. And then I looked into the Helena Kanosh, young girl, who was, like I said, very meager means, probably 16-ish when she got involved with the anti-Redmond movement. A little older now, she has a child. She's doing much better for herself. involved in a lot of social issues, SJW type. But what I don't see is any kind of connection to a 9-to-5 or anything like that. Just to be honest with you, you don't see it. But all of a sudden, you can see her affiliation with the Guerrero chick. This these types of organizations, which are the ones putting these people on a pedestal. That's what they're doing. They're putting these people on pedestals and giving them a soapbox to speak from. And that fame and that clout is addicting to those folks. They don't. They've created a vacuum. If I start paying you thousands of dollars a month or whatever it may be, and your whole lifestyle is then derived from what I give or don't give you. I mean, that's essentially what we're up against.
For those of you on Twitter, or X, rather, formerly known as Twitter, think of a Harry Sisson, I think his name is. This is the kind of influencers that we're up against. It's the ones who are paid to say the things that they say. And it's regardless of the truth. They're doing this because that's their job. That's what they're told to do. And one of the funny things that I wanted to bring up a little bit earlier was that, why is it that progress for America includes erasing Native Americans? I don't understand that particular fact, and how that they can come out and say that, you know, they're progressive and they want to help this country, but it always seems that they have to erase a certain group of people or deny their existence or remove their representation in order to progress. It's like, okay, well, we want to be the really inclusive ones, so you guys have to leave so that way we can be inclusive with ourselves. That's kind of what it feels like.
Well, and it's just about like, well, what's their definition of progress? Apparently their definition of progress is an all-white America where no one is allowed to be an individual or having our culture doesn't matter, our history, our background, none of it's going to matter, because I think this is just the globalist anti-American movement, and none of us get to have a history or culture. Now, guys, when they say progress,
we're changing it. We're changing that. Is bringing it back.
I'm going to take one more pause for the sponsors. Are going to come back and close out with you. Give us just a second.
Military use when they need unlimited power during critical missions. Civilians like you can now get their hands on the exact same technology within 24 hours for pennies on the dollar. Folks, as a former infantry soldier, I can tell you this is the best and cheapest way to get reliable, unlimited energy. And no, I'm not talking about regular generators or the expensive solar panels. You don't have to be an electrician to do it. There's no maintenance needed. It doesn't take up a lot of space. And the best part, you won't need to rely on the power grid anymore. Click below now and hit play.
No, guys, go ahead into the description of the podcast. You'll see that in there. They were recently purchased by My Patriot Supply, too. Great company. So go check those guys out. Like I said, we've dealt with the types of folks that are this, affiliated with PLO, the whole, anti-Semitic movement, which seemed to be embraced by the left in its entirety. And now they've gone so far as to adopt certain people from the Native community, and they do the same thing. They just, money flows one way, and they basically, they have toy soldiers that they can wind up and send in any direction that they want.
To make it seem like it's popular. They prop them up as well. So not only do they pay these people, but they make them seem like they're popular. And so it tricks a lot of people into thinking that this is the narrative. This is the popular thing that people are doing right now. This is what people actually want. When in reality, like what you guys are displaying and what you guys have shown, is that it's not popular. People don't like it. People want to be able to be represented in their culture, even when it comes to, to Red Man instead of the Reds. Ugh, I can't believe that.
I believe that. And
only because you're not smart enough to understand, Maurice. If you were just a little bit smarter, you would really get why they're doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
They're not there yet.
Well, yeah. They love that victimhood mentality is so strong. And just the, you know, when you throw out, you know, the racist and call people racism. And it's just like this, you know, political correctness that has destroyed the First Amendment without actually violating it, where it's like you tell people they shouldn't say something versus mm-hmm. they can't. And it's the same result. Think people,
if you control speech, you control their thoughts.
People are
it is literally a form of mind control.
Oh, to be true, they know it's wrong, but so many people are shamed into speaking up because, you know, of being called racist. And it's insane. The insanity.
Well, ladies, I'm gonna give you guys the last word. Go ahead and whichever one of you look right into the camera. We have approximately right now, just on X, probably about 1,500 or so people. Say what you want to say.
Well, right now we're fighting the fight. We're hoping that we're making progress. We've got some exciting things that will be happening this week and next week. Hopefully we will see a change. And when we do, we've got a big process in front of us because we have to redo the campus. We have to re-educate the kids. And our goal is to set up an educational system within the schools to teach Native American history. We want to talk to the kids. And you know what? Frankly, yes. Some adults.
Where can anybody follow you or support you or anything like that? Is there any way to reach out and help and support? And
well, if people want the support, they can message me on Facebook. Sorry, I don't do X that much. I'm just too busy to get on X with my phone and I go crazy. But Facebook, we are Voices of Iron County Education. Go ahead, Andrea.
Well, I was going to say, we also have a website, ironcountyvoice.com. And it's got the booklet on that we gave out. And it's got that whole clip that you showed of that school board meeting.
With the transcript, too.
It's in the description of the video, guys. It's all in the description of the video. So all the things you're talking about, they're all there.
If they want to get monetarily, we have not been able to get the, what's my waste serving?
The Stripe account.
Yeah, we're having problems getting that because we're a political PAC. So
Venmo won't let us.
Maybe Eddie can help you there.
I would love that if you could. That would really help us out, Eddie.
We do have a lot of people that want to help. A lot of community members that are, I mean, they got their checkbooks. They're out and ready, but
I'm depositing checks like crazy.
Yes.
In fact, I got a call tonight from, I won't say the name on this podcast, but I got a call from a very influential person in town tonight just before this started. He says, I want to help. Tell me how.
So, okay. Yeah. So what I'll do, because I have like 3 Stripe accounts and all those gives and goes and everything else. I evidently I'm pretty good at setting those up. How about we do that? How about we set up a gives and go?
Absolutely.
Any help I'll do it
under my account, and then you guys will support you the whole way. And like I said, it'll be about 2 or 3 weeks out. I'm coming out, and then probably again a month after that for my retreat. Awesome. I'll be out. I'm up in Utah at least 3-4 times a year. I love it up there.
It's a beautiful place. When we talk about the reinstating and the cost, it'll be minimal because still has everything from before, all the banners, the signage, you know, it's all those still there. This will be a very low cost to the taxpayers. Yeah,
they keep it all in the cupboard, don't they? The Indians in the cupboard again.
Oh my God. It's in the basement. It's in the basement of the high school.
We requested, and some business people in the community requested that they save it.
And a lot of it is still there. I mean, you saw the mosaic on the floor. There's still a huge concrete sign in front of the school, which is now the back, which is so weird that they changed it. But anyways, it still says Home of the Redmen, and it is all still there. It's beautiful.
Consider us the podcast arm of this issue until it's concluded. Right. So I'll work with you guys on getting funding set up and maybe a landing page, and we'll do some other things in order to drive funding that way. So guys, you heard it here already. The same way you got behind us on the Holden issue, same thing. There's no difference here. It's the same damn thing. So they need your help. They need your support. And I'm going to be putting out a way to actually do that. Maurice and I will be putting out on both of our accounts. And if you are able to give, please give. I'm going to dedicate a space on the webpage to it as well. And I'll be going out there to look for hello from Utah, by the way. So what's up, Double? What's up, Double? So I'll be coming out there. I want to talk.
You can put out the emails of our school board and our superintendent, and people can contact them, you know, and tell them, you know, they're positive. And I really do want it to be positive. There's so much positive history surrounding this and so much to lose, you know, and I do believe it's like over 200 schools that have changed their names. And that is such a loss for our country and every community. And if they can just reach out to our school board and our superintendent and administrators and tell them, you know, just plead a case that this is so important to keep and for every community
actually
around.
To reinstate
this There's name and what it really means.
Reclaim the name, as we say.
Reclaim the name. So yes, they're important.
They're supporters, guys. There are people that go out and do the things that other people wish they had time to do. And then there are people that actually do it.
But listen, tired.
Guys, so if you're unable to go out and do these things and push these issues, support those who can. It's the same thing Maurice and I tell you about our locals accounts and these types of things. This is where our heart's at. This is where our passion's at, these types of issues. So for the same reason, this is why we tell you guys all the time, if you support us, we'll support you. We know the causes you believe in. We know what we're fighting for, and you know we're not going to back down. So same thing with these ladies. We're going to set up a way to get them some funding and get them support and get them basically. We're going to be spamming this everywhere, and I'm going to give you a spot on the website, and I'm also going to set up that Gifts and Go with a link for you, and we'll create a special video to promote that. We'll talk about it offline. But as usual, the silent majority, you need to stop being silent and stand your ground. Nice. We'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bless you guys.
My people love this country and we're under attack. They banned us, they canceled us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is a man.